Coming up on the show today is our second take at recording this podcast. We had some technical difficulties in our recording last night, so we gave it another shot. This week we talk about a new book that Sally and I will be reviewing, The Church of Facebook. We have an interview with the MPH guys to talk about some new digital products. We have our picks of the week as usual, plenty of community feedback. And we hope you stay with us as we enjoy episode 201 of the Wells Tech Podcast. Stay tuned.
This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net.
Welcome back, everybody, to another edition of the Wells Tech Podcast, and welcome back, Sally. And this is truly a welcome back because this is the second time we've tried to record this podcast. We had a failed attempt last night, as I haven't mentioned on this podcast, but I mentioned in the last podcast that I'm in LaPorte, Indiana at a pastor's conference doing a presentation on productivity, and I'm at the mercy of the Holiday Inn Express Wi-Fi, and it kind of let us down yesterday. So we're giving it another shot tonight. Hi, Sally.
Hi, Martin. It's great to join you tonight. We're crossing the state borders a couple of times over as you're doing a pastor's conference in Michigan. I'm here in Minnesota, just got my husband home from a pastor's conference, and we're crossing our fingers that this Deja Vu All Over Again podcast is going to be a good recording.
Well, so far so good. We're using a little bit different approach this time, because the way we were trying to do it last night was doing a recording of the Skype conversation using a program called Pamela, which normally works pretty well if you're on decent Wi-Fi. I've used it in the past. It records both sides of the conversation. In fact, with the premium version, you can split out both sides and manipulate them differently. So that was a real help. But if your Wi-Fi is a little sketchy, I wound up sounding like Max Headroom, and that would probably only resonate with people that are our age or older, probably. So it wasn't real listenable. So we decided, well, let's try this again. And thank you, Sally, for agreeing to do this one more time.
Hey, maybe we'll get it right this time. Maybe we'll be better than we were the last time around.
That's right. It's kind of an ominous start for the third century of the podcast. Episode 201 we're on. Speaking of new episodes, we are starting a new series, a book review series in this episode. The book we've selected, and those of you that have been longtime listeners remember that we kind of pick a book, I don't know, it's every 6 months or 8 months, something like that, and each month we dedicate a show, or at least a portion of a show, to giving a little bit of review and going through a chapter at a time. And the book that we have selected for the next few shows, and this will probably span over, you know, half a year of episodes or so, is called The Church of Facebook. It's a book by Jesse Rice, who has a counseling degree, was a arts director type on the ministry team of the art direction group at a large Presbyterian church in California. And what he decided to do as he observed this phenomenon of social networks and specifically Facebook is write a book about the effect of Facebook on humans, basically men and women, as they relate to one another, and then specifically give it a Christian angle and share his thoughts on how he observed Christians using it within his church and elsewhere. And it's really a revealing book. He comes at it from some unique angles, but definitely a Christian angle, and it'll be worth our time talking about some of the things that he brings up in the book.
Yeah, I am new to this book, Martin. I guess you've read it already through cover to cover, and I'll be reading along with the audience just as we progress through the podcast version of our review. So I've just read the introduction so far, and I'm quite drawn into it. It sounds like it's going to be an interesting read. The subtitle of the book is How the Hyperconnected are redefining community. So I know it has Facebook in the title, but I think it definitely applies to all this different social media connection that we have in this new age, and how that affects us and helps us or harms us in making relationships and keeping those relationships going and things. So mm-hmm. Should be very interesting.
Yeah, he starts off with an interesting illustration, a story that I was not familiar with, a story of the Millennium Bridge that was built in London for the commemoration. Well, I don't know if it was for the commemoration, but it actually was dedicated in the year 2000. And it was a bridge spanning the Thames River. And besides it being an architectural wonder and all the architects that it took to put this thing together and how proud they were on that day that it opened, the real story was when people started to walk across it after they cut the ribbon. And they found very quickly that many people walking at so many different paces and strides and the pounding that the bridge took made it wobble so much that people felt that they were going to fall off. So what happened is, as they were walking across the bridge, they had to figure out how to calm things down, so to speak, in order for them to actually stay on the surface. So they all adopted kind of a penguin gait, so they were in lockstep to try and just get across the bridge, and ultimately that even made it worse. But the point of the illustration is something like this, some new invention, some architectural wonder, so to speak, can have interesting results when a lot of people are drawn to it and react to it. And that's where he starts to talk about this phenomenon, this new thing, this architectural, social architectural wonder called Facebook, and just the amazing things it does to people when they get involved with it.
Yeah, and you know, just drawing from that Millennium Bridge illustration, it wasn't just that it had new results for that time, but it carried through. It changed the way they behaved, and so that this phenomenon with this large population of people actually caused them to do something different from that point forward. In this case, they had to walk together and step to get across the bridge successfully. And in Facebook's case, I mean, you and I can both attest to the fact that Facebook has had an impact, not just on us, but on the people around us, and that we live our lives differently because of this social connectiveness that occurs through Facebook these days.
And in ways that people never would have anticipated. And that's what he'll go on to talk about in the book. There's just things that have been so attractive about Facebook, and so, he would say, life-changing about what Facebook has done for how people communicate. And there are some ramifications of that as you look at how people talk to each other, the things that they are willing to share, and the list goes on and on. And that's going to be a real interesting part of the book as we look forward to kind of going through the chapters that he's got here. Interesting, Sally, there is a survey that came out just a couple days ago that we were talking about in the pre-show that is very timely. It was actually another a survey that was done in England, and they attempted to compile a list by survey of 3,000 British adults. They wanted them to list their most treasured items and, they quote, items and services. So they took this survey of 3,000 people and they said, you know, what things could you not live without? And maybe not surprisingly, but Facebook is in the, what is it, fifth on the list here?
Yep, only four things are more important to people than Facebook, according to this survey. Mm-hmm. Number one being sunshine. So mm-hmm. I think that's a pretty good number one. And number two being their internet connection, which they need in order to get to Facebook.
Well, you and I would agree with that at this point. that is like gold for a podcaster, yes. But that's
for
interesting
sure.
That it's number two. Number three was clean drinking water. So it depends, I guess it depends on who you're asking. If you did this questionnaire in Malawi, Africa, it would be a little bit different. But these Londonians, Londoners, came up with this list. Sunshine, internet connection, clean drinking water, the refrigerator, or what they call the fridge, and then comes Facebook. And it's more maybe more interesting to know what Facebook beat out than what beat it.
Yeah, they listed their health insurance under Facebook, their stove, mm-hmm. their email, and their flushing toilet. They'd rather
That's
have
right.
Facebook than a flushing
to
toilet.
To them is more important than a flushing toilet, absolutely. And then it goes on to say mobile phones, tea and coffee, washing machines, the shower. This is a pretty humorous list. And even as you go down, we see iPods and iPads and bicycles, bottled water, dryers, wedding rings, wristwatches, chocolate. Twitter made the list. It's way down there at the bottom. But Facebook is apparently extremely important, one of those necessities for this. And that'll be interesting as we read through the book, Sally, that it will make a case for why it has such an effect on people. So tune in. I think we do this about the second show of every month. And if you want to go ahead and get the book, we'll have a link to it. It's very cheap. You can get it on the Kindle. You can get it on the Nook. You can get it in audio format. You can get it in printed form, all on Amazon. So those are all available to you. And I guess I would tell you just from reading it once that it's a good read. It's worth whatever it is, $10 to get it.
And if you don't like it, you can blame Martin because this is his book pick.
That's right. We trade off. Sally had the last pick. I get this pick. So, speaking of Kindle, nice segue, huh? We have an interview with the MPH guys, Kurt Adams and Mark Butsky, who we've had on the show before talking about new products coming out of Northwestern Publishing House. They're going to talk to us today about some new electronic products, including stuff that's coming out on the Kindle that I think everybody's going to really be able to take advantage of, specifically the People's Bible, one of the most popular publications of the Northwestern Publishing House, is now available on the Kindle and a couple other products that they'll talk about. So let's listen to our interview with Kurt Adams and Mark Butsky.
Joining us today on the Wells Tech Podcast are a couple of our MPH friends from Northwestern Publishing House, Mark Butsky and Kurt Adams. Morning, guys.
Morning, Martin.
Morning, Martin.
How are
Morning,
you?
Sally.
Very well, thanks.
Good. Thank you for joining us. Maybe refresh our memories and our audience as well as to your roles at Northwestern Publishing House.
Go ahead, Mark. You can start. Well, I'm the marketing director at the publishing house here, and I also sit in on and take part in our electronic products committee, which reviews stuff, potential products that we'll release in the future, the area you're interested in.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Kurt?
Yeah, and I'm the director of Internet and Publishing Technology, and pretty much get involved in anything related to our webpage or electronic products. Anything that has to do with technology related to publishing.
Great. And there's some exciting new news, especially in this area, and that's one of the reasons we wanted to have you on the show again. One of the things that caught my eye recently was the People's Bible is now available on Kindle. Talk to us a little bit about that.
About 3 weeks ago, we finally got our feet wet by releasing the New Testament versions of the People's Bible for Kindle, and so that consists of 15 books. Like I said, only the New Testament, and actually not just Kindle, but we also just recently have started releasing the same titles in Nook format as well.
Okay,
we have them available for both.
And the pricing on those is a little bit cheaper than the print version, correct?
Mark, go ahead. That's correct, Martin. What we're at right now is about 80% of the cover price of the print product.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, there's a little bit of a discount for those.
Right, so you're saving a tree. And just for me, the added convenience of having all of those in one place. So you know, it's nice to see them all, you know, lined up on the shelf there, but to be able to have them right on one device and where you can go easily from book to book, let's say in a Bible class or whatever, and just the searchability of it as well is really a nice feature.
And, you know, we wanted to come up with products that we knew had a, they were popular already with our market. Mm-hmm. People know what the People's Bible is. And so we felt that this would be a good test for our market to see if they were willing to respond to e-books at this point. Mm-hmm.
Kurt, was it a difficult process to get them into that format and to work with Amazon and Barnes & Noble to get these up and available?
You know, not very difficult, but what does take some time and, you know, some cost is doing the actual conversion of the text of the books themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be converted into a an e-book format. There's a number of different ones out there. Kindle has kind of a proprietary format. Other ones use the EPUB format.
Right.
But getting that conversion done is the first step. After that, you work directly with the different sales channels, Amazon, Barnes & Noble. And they have a pretty easy tool on their webpage for publishing. So mm-hmm. it's not that difficult once you get the books converted.
Okay. Any early results yet from sales? Any reaction?
Kindle, we've been out about 3 weeks, and we've sold a handful, about, I think, around 25 books so far.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a good start, but we, you know, we're hoping to get the word out to people and grow that, of course.
Right, right.
So far in that regard, too, Martin, if I could,
sure.
We did post a couple of items to our Facebook page, and the response there has probably been about as good as any other response we've had for anything else. So I think people are interested in the topic.
Mm-hmm. Remind our listeners where your Facebook page is. What's do you have a URL?
Actually, we do not have a URL.
Okay.
I think if they'd search Northwestern Publishing House,
okay.
I don't know if that's the URL or not. I'm not sure about
sure
that. I didn't set that up. So
you know, and the other easy way to get to it would just be to go to nph.net.
That's right.
And there's a Facebook link right on the homepage.
Okay.
Thanks for rescuing me, Kurt.
Are you expecting to do more of this kind of thing? I know I've read studies where I think I heard Barnes & Noble is selling more e-books than they are print books these days. Do you foresee a future in electronic books?
Well, maybe Mark can jump in here, but I'll talk first. It really depends on how the market responds. Some of the feedback we've been getting has been, it's great that you're coming out with People's Bible, but we would also like to see you come out with new titles in ebook format. And all I can tell you there is, internally, we are, anytime we come out with a new book, we have now decided that we will evaluate every book to see whether or not an ebook makes sense for that title. And so it's on our radar, and we would like to start publishing new books in ebook format as well. But it's a little bit early to say at this point whether or not we will publish everything we do in ebook at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And as far as that goes, I think Kurt captured it real well. I think we're going to be studying and evaluating each product and probably providing content as well, but we're certainly excited about getting into this realm and look forward to the possibilities, but those possibilities will be driven a little bit by market response.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And that's got to only grow, in my opinion. I think there's excitement around it, and it may take some time, of course, but over time, I think that'll be essentially the standard, because it makes economic sense, if nothing else, for many reasons. So you've got some other products, especially with the Wisconsin Lutheran Quarterly coming out. Tell us a little bit about the work you're doing with the WLQ.
Well, I'll start out, Mark, you can fill in the gaps. You know, the Wisconsin Lutheran Quarterly, that's been around for a long time in print, and we have recently made the decision to offer it in what we call a premium subscription, which will include a PDF of the current issue that can be purchased along with the print issue or separately just as a PDF alone. So another option available to our subscribers for the current issues of the future quarterlies. Now, the other thing related to quarterly is we are hoping, how long has it been now, Mark? About 10 years, we came out with 40 years worth of the Wisconsin Lutheran Quarterly in August format. We are hoping to come out with the next, about 20 plus years in the same format for Logos. However, it's a considerable investment, and we are in the process right now of building interest and seeing if that's going to be feasible or not. But it's on our radar. We're hoping to come out with the next 20 years of Wisconsin Lutheran Quarterly in Logos format.
So this process of building interest, as you say, what does that mean?
Logos has for people who are familiar with the Logos library system or Logos Bible software, they have a tool on their website that allows publishers such as ourselves to offer books in what they call pre-pub. So what it does is people can go and actually buy the book, in this case the Wisconsin Lutheran Quarterly, but book doesn't get shipped until there's enough interest to actually pay for the development of the book.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, the Wisconsin Lutheran Quarterly is in the pre-pub system on the Logos webpage, and it's in the process of developing interest, but we have not gotten to the point yet where we are able to actually go ahead and develop the product yet. So,
and people can vote or submit a thumbs up that they would be interested in buying if the product would become available.
Correct, and they actually can go ahead and actually purchase it. I don't believe they get charged for purchasing it until the product would get developed, but they could go ahead and at least express their interest in wanting the book when it does become available. And when enough people go ahead and say that they want the book, then the project moves forward.
Sure.
So we are hoping that that project will move forward soon, but it's a considerable investment to do that. But
right.
Maybe, Mark, you want to talk a little bit more about the premium subscription to the Wisconsin Lutheran Quarterly.
Sure. I'll treat both of those things that you just addressed, Kurt. The Quarterly itself, as Kurt suggested, is going to be available not only in print but also as a PDF subscription and as a premium subscription where you get both the print and the PDF. But that won't be starting until January 2012. You can look on our website and search periodicals or type in online.nph.net/periodicals, and you'll get to a page where you can learn more about the quarterly as we're working on it. It is the first issue will be January 2012. As far as the Logos thing, we're continuing to hope that we gain people who pre-order that on the pre-publication page at Logos. I think the neatest, the biggest feature about that one is you get 21 years of the quarterly, and the pre-pub price is actually $37.95 for 21 years. So it's really extreme value. So if you're at all interested in collecting issues of the quarterly and being able to search them and cross-reference them with your old version of the Logos Quarterly, it's really a great deal. So I'd encourage anybody who's got Logos Bible software for sure to look at that quarterly pre-pub.
And anybody who's maybe not familiar with the quarterly, it's a scholarly journal. Many times it's seminary professors or other scholars within the synod addressing particular topical subjects or Bible passages or sections of Scripture, and very well done, very thorough, just a great resource for maybe not just pastors, but anybody interested in digging deeper into some of these theological topics.
And I guess we should probably wrap up the agents talking about another digital resource that you guys have developed recently and published is the Anytime Anywhere Bible Studies. Can you tell us a little bit about how those work?
Well, again, I'll jump in. The Anytime Bible Studies are basically flash Bible studies that are available for churches to use on their webpage. One of the things we hear from our churches a lot is, as it relates to websites, is give us content we can put on our webpage. So one of the products developed here are they're called Anytime Bible Studies, and like I said, they're flash Bible studies that people can, that churches can post on their webpage. And they're not really intended so much for corporate Bible study, but more for personal Bible study. So congregational members at home could access these Bible studies, and they could go through them at their own pace on their own personal computer. And I'll let Mark, you know, talk a little bit more about how we are delivering those Bible studies and maybe some of the pricing on that.
Sure. Those are actually the individual studies are actually downloadable on our website. There are five in number. There's one, the life of Abraham, the life of Jacob, the life of Joseph, and then two that are a little bit more in-depth called Who is Jesus Christ and What is the Gospel. And all five of those are available for as downloads individually on the website at a price of $19.99. Otherwise, you can actually purchase a CD with all five on it, and that's $79.99 for that CD. So, again, pretty good value there, hopefully, for the customer who wishes to add content to their website.
Very good. That's exciting. I think NPH is really stepping out here a little bit and saying, hey, we need to be in this digital space, whether it be on web or audiobooks or whatever it would be in Lugus. That's definitely a positive step in my mind, at least. Anything else on the horizon you guys want to share?
Well, we talked about a little bit with the Lugus Bible software. We have the quarterly right now on the Prepub system. We actually have a couple other products that are currently in the Prepub system that are actually getting very near development. And those include a commentary on Galatians and then the book Ministers of Christ,
Okay.
which is a commentary on 2 Corinthians.
Right.
Both of those books will be coming out soon in the Lugus format. We just recently released another product in the Lugus format that did go through the Prepub system and got enough interest that we were able to develop it, and that was the commentary on Song of Songs.
Mm-hmm.
So all three of those products are either available or will be soon in the Lugus Bible format.
And the other thing about that is we're very excited about being able to produce that, and we're continuing to look at other titles that we might make available via the Prepub way, because the nice thing about that is now we're not outlaying any money until we're sure we're able to pay for our and recover the costs that we put into it. So that's a real nice feature. So anybody that's out there that wants a Prepub, that wants any of this content, make sure you're signing up for those Prepubs, because then we'll know that we've got enough people that we can cover our expenses on producing them. And it's real nice to know when you've released a product that you're already at a break-even point.
Mm-hmm. And how do they
the website to get to the Prepubs?
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
The website www.lugus.com/Northwestern.
Okay.
And that will get you to all the Northwestern Publishing House products in Lugus.
Very good, good. Yeah, those are all great products that you have in that Prepub that Prepub area, so take advantage of that. All right, guys, thank you very much for, again, your time, and just exciting news coming out of MPH.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thanks, Martin. You're welcome.
Good talking to you, Martin. Good talking to you, Sally.
Okay, yeah. Take care.
Thanks again to our good friends at MPH, Kurt and Mark, for taking the time to share some exciting news about some digital products that are coming out, or are out, and are coming out. So make sure you keep your eyes open for those new things coming out of MPH. Good stuff.
Yeah, check out our Wells Tech podcast website for links to all those things that they mentioned.
Okay. Sally, we should probably move on to some of our regular features now that we're out of our summer specials. Let's go on to our ministry resources.
Sure. We have a couple of ministry resources related to mobile applications. The first is from The Table. And we've talked about The Table before on the podcast. It's actually kind of a private social network designed just for churches. So you can have prayer requests that you're sharing or needs within the congregation. And it's all done in a real private way on your own table, they call it. And now The Table has an iPhone app. It was just released this week. And it allows you to access many of the things that before you could only access via the website. It is their first stab at it, so some things aren't fully fleshed out. You can view things, but not necessarily add new things, just view what's on the table currently. But I'm sure over time they'll be adding more and more functionality to the app. And I logged into our Wells Tech Table Project site and was able to get access to and update a few things related to our Wells Tech site there. So it even has a fun little game that you can use with everyone's photos that they've uploaded to the Table Project. You can turn off their names and kind of use it like flashcards and check to see if you've learned everybody's name or not. So just a quirky little thing that they added to that iPhone application. So if you're a Table user, you might want to check out the new iPhone app.
And the Table Project, which we've talked about in the past, is, again, a social network, and it kind of fits well with our conversation about Facebook. But one that the church can control, and they can have a lot of customization over how it operates, who has access, what they can do. And the fact that now that you've got that on the go is probably going to help it along. And we're really watching with interest how this project does, because I think there is a need for some churches to say, Facebook doesn't quite do it for us. We need our own social network. And it certainly brings some features that are very specific to churches that I like a lot.
And the Table Project is completely free. So if you haven't tried it out, you might want to establish an account for your congregation. Next up, we have another mobile app that we wanted to talk about, a new release for the Glow Bible, which has an iPad and an iPhone app, and I think they have an Android app as well, I'm not sure. But they actually have the Atlas lens available in the Glow Bible now on the iPad and iPhone. So the Atlas lens is what gives you all the mapping features that are part of the Glow Bible on the desktop version. And when the original iPhone and iPad app was released, they kind of scaled back the desktop version and didn't include that Atlas lens in the mobile version. But now they've added it in. So if you are a Glow Bible owner, you get access to all the thousands of maps that are associated with the software. And they have some information on their website. We'll have a link in the show notes. You can watch a little video about how it works and that kind of thing if you go to their website. One other note about the Glow Bible was that USA Today recently recognized the Glow Bible as one of the 10 coolest book apps for the fall of 2011. They actually listed it first, so they're quite impressed with the Glow Bible and gave it a real glowing review. Glowing review. How about that?
All right. Let's move on to news and tech, Sally.
And I had one news item that I came across this week that I thought was worthy of mention, and that is that GameStop has decided to stock iOS devices, and they announced that they'll be not only selling Apple mobile devices and things, but they'll also be taking them in trade. So if you want to trade up your old device for a newer device, you can get store credit and apply it to a new device. And this is much the way they do with buying back video games and video game systems currently. And so I think this is a newsworthy thing. You know, I haven't heard of the buyback program like this available anywhere else. So pretty neat, coming to a GameStop near you.
Yeah, and that's probably a perfect fit for many people who want to take advantage of some of the Apple technologies, and this is an opportunity to bring in some of your old Nintendo or PlayStation equipment that maybe you've outgrown, for instance, and pick up some new equipment. And I'm surprised at the number of applications that some of these products have in ministry, whether they be iPods or iPads. We've talked about a lot of those in the past, but There are uses for this within the church.
Yep, and just a really quick and easy way to to get the stuff in the local GameStop. That's something that we actually even have in New Ulm. Within 15 minutes of sleep, yeah, I might be able to get my hands on Apple devices. Imagine that. So
let's move on to our picks of the week.
And I guess I'm up first, and my pick of the week is actually a website that I became familiar with this summer. It is wellstainedglass.org. And the person behind this is Pastor Bob Kester, who's one of the editors over at Northwestern Publishing House. And he's apparently a hobbyist photographer as well. And what Pastor Kester has done over time is build up a website featuring photos of stained glass windows in various Wells congregations. And this summer he called and asked if he could photograph our windows here at St. John's and Sleepy Eye. So that's how I became familiar with the process and the website behind it and everything. He does a really excellent job with these photos. He does it all on a black background, and oftentimes he'll put together collages of all the windows as well as the individual pictures of each window. And so it's a really beautiful website. And the neat thing about it is he does give permission for people to individuals and nonprofits to use it, the photos, for in-house use. So if you had a need to make use of some photos of stained glass, this might be a good resource for you to check out. Again, the web address is wellstainedglass.org.
That is neat, Sally, to hear about people taking advantage of maybe interests that they have and skills that they want to develop and putting them to good use for the benefit of the church. This seems like a great resource. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
My pick of the week is very simple. In fact, it's a single key on the keyboard. This is probably my simplest pick of all the shows that we've done. It's the Windows key. Now, this is obviously a tip only for Windows users, as Windows users are the only ones that have Windows keys on their keyboard. But most PCs that you buy today, whether they be desktop or laptop, as they have a keyboard, they're going to have this Windows key, which is usually in the lower left somewhere on the keyboard, maybe a couple keys down from the space bar between the Control and Alt keys or someplace in there. And it's actually a very handy key. We've talked about combinations of Windows and Windows key and other keys, but I just like to talk about and give a little tip on just using the Windows key all by itself. If you just hit that Windows key, what's going to pop up immediately is the program area from the Start menu. And you'll notice that when you do that, the cursor is automatically populating the Search Programs and Files area. And it does exactly that. You can launch a search of any file or folder on your system. What I primarily use it for is shortcuts to applications. So one thing that I usually advise in my productivity seminars is to keep your desktop as clean and as clear as possible. Maybe only working files. To clutter it up with all kinds of applications and those kinds of things just confuses things. So keep that as clean as possible and use this shortcut by just clicking or tapping the Windows key and then typing the first couple letters of the application you'd like to open. Let's say you want to open Microsoft Word. You hit the Windows key, you type in WOR, and more than likely Microsoft Word is going to be the thing that's highlighted in that Start menu, and all you have to do is hit Enter and it launches. You can do the same with Excel or PowerPoint or Outlook or any of the other applications. It doesn't even have to be Microsoft applications. Things that are in your Start program or Start menus that you can get to very quickly without taking your hands off the keyboard, which is really key for productivity. To have to constantly go over to the mouse, drag it down to the lower left, click the button, scroll to find your application, click on that. Total waste of time. You can do it with just a couple clicks of the finger rather than of the mouse to get those things opened up. It keeps your desktop clean. It avoids those mouse clicks. You can do many other things. You can open websites. So hit that Windows key and type in www.whatever at website you want. It'll open the browser automatically and go right to that website. You can search for contacts. So if you use a tool like Outlook that has contacts, if you search for somebody's name, it'll come up with their contact card. And once that's opened, you can click on a button to email or to telephone them. All kinds of options through this very simple key. And it's there for a reason, but I think most people kind of overlooked its usefulness.
Wow, Martin, I think I'm going to have to break out my sewing machine and sew you a cape and give you a new title, a productivity man. That's quite impressive.
Well, it's the little things that count.
Yeah, see you streaking through the office being productive.
All right, so let's go on before people conjure up too many bad images of that visual you just gave them. Wells.net feature, what is it, Sally?
Well, this week in my email box, I received the ShopWells Insider, which is a quarterly newsletter from our ShopWells program. If you aren't familiar with ShopWells, it's a way for congregations, schools, and individuals to collectively take advantage of some great deals that have been negotiated for Wells members and congregations. And we have an excellent newsletter that tells you about some of those great deals and featured vendors and things. And you can subscribe to it if you aren't receiving it yet. And you can check out a link in our show notes if you want to see the fall version that just came out.
That newsletter had its inaugural voyage, so to speak, back in the spring. And that was a print copy. And now for all quarters other than the spring issue, it'll be digital, and you can subscribe to it. And it's got a lot of interesting things in it. Of course, the special of the month is in there, special of the quarter, but also it introduces you to new vendors that may be of interest to your congregation. We've been talking a little bit about Apple here, and Apple is one of our newest vendors, so you have an opportunity to get connected with Apple products at a discount, whether you're a church or school, and all that information is talked about in the newsletter. So go ahead and sign up at shopwells.net. Sally, it's about time for community feedback, and we've got a lot of it this week.
We do. We heard from our Wells Tech contest winner. Those of you that listened last week heard Jason Potoski's name called as the winner of our Flip Mino HD video camera. And Jason was listening last week as well. He tweeted very early on Wednesday morning that it had been a very interesting morning so far in a good way, thanks to Wells Tech. So we knew that he had gotten the message that he was the winner. And he also has sent some messages along the way of ideas of how he's going to use that flip camera. Today he told me he might start recording his Bible classes and posting those online using the camera. So we're going to be looking for some great things from you, Jason, and we're real happy that you won the camera.
Very good, and we were happy to do it. It was kind of interesting, at least from my perspective, Sally, to listen to all the, I think we played some, two dozen voicemails on that show, and just hearing everybody. Can you just tell us a little bit about their thoughts on Wells Tech and the fact that we've got listeners who are interested in talking to us. So, and it's interesting. At every workshop I do and every session I attend, I meet a new Wells Tech listener. I just met another one, which I think Clint did leave a voicemail last week too. Clint Rogus, pastor here in Michigan, which is where I am this week giving this presentation, introduced himself. So that was kind of neat.
Very cool. We actually have a listener comment today from Clint Rogus from South Haven, Michigan,
the
same fella. So we better talk about that next. And I think this is a good one for the audience to help us with. And Clint wrote to us about a little dilemma that they're having. They're trying to upgrade their cassette tape ministry, where they've been making audio recordings of their worship services and delivering to their shut-ins. And they're looking for an alternative to that. Seems like cassette tapes are getting a little bit dated, and it's probably kind of hard to find a cassette player around these days. I don't know. I haven't looked for one lately, but they were considering going with MP3 players and going with digital audio, but what they realized very quickly as they tried to evaluate different MP3 players was that they're a little bit difficult to manipulate, especially the cheaper ones have really small screens and small buttons and things and aren't the most intuitive to work with. And they thought that would be a bit of a stretch for their shut-ins to operate the MP3 players easily. So they're looking for a solution and wondering if anyone out there in the listening audience has ideas to offer for their shut-in ministry.
Yeah, that's we're going to, I think, struggle with that going forward with some of these technologies that we want to use, but is kind of not quite ready for our shut-ins, as they're they're kind of transitioning from kind of the old school to some of the new school technologies, and some of them are a challenge. So if anybody's got ideas about how they work with shut-ins and get them their, you know, what was maybe formerly called a tape ministry and the content that was created through it, we would love to hear your ideas.
Definitely. Just write into WellsTech at wells.net and share it there. We'll be listening. Next up, we want to share links from our DIGO group. DIGO is a way to bookmark items on the web and share them, and we have a WellsTech DIGO group, and we regularly get contributions from WellsTech listeners there. Many of them today are education-focused, and that's perfect for this back-to-school time of year. Some really great education websites were pointed out, starting with one called Molecular Expressions, Science, Optics, and You, and it's just full of all different interactive Java tutorials, science-oriented. So if you're a science teacher, you probably want to check this page out. Next up, someone tagged Discovery Atlas, which is done by the Discovery Education Streaming folks. And basically, it's an atlas of the world. You can click on a country of interest, and a lot of different video links come up around the culture, government, history, and natural world in that country. So you can take advantage of the Discovery streaming videos, and there's no login or anything like that. It's completely free to use. So check this out if you're looking for geographic type information.
Nice.
We also had a link to a blog post from Wikispaces. And I know many of our teachers that listen use Wikispaces for projects with their classrooms. And Wikispaces has just introduced a new feature in their educational wikis. And it's called Projects, and it's specifically set up for class team collaborative work. And it allows you to assign students to different teams and for them to have basically a private area on the wiki to do their work and share their files and things like that, so that other teams can't see each other's work. It's privatized in that way. And so this is a new feature that they kind of put their developers to the test and had them set up. And it's great to coincide with the beginning of school. And again, if you're a teacher, you might want to make use of this on your education wiki.
Very nice. Is that a train running through your living room, Sally?
Yeah, actually it is. We have them stop once a day just to check on us and yeah.
Ah, so you're close to the tracks.
Joys of Sleepy Eye. Not right. That close. It's just really loud. Anyway, sorry about that, folks. We also had a link shared from the Edutopia website to digital citizenship resources. And Martin, you and I both know this is a really important topic with students today, to teach them to be good digital citizens, to teach them about cyberbullying and, you know, just different topics around netiquette and online safety. And as we open up this virtual world to our children, you know, we need to teach them about safety in the process. So what Edutopia magazine has done is put together this awesome resource list. And so if you're looking for ways to or sites to address these different issues, I think you'll find plenty here on this resource list.
And this ties in real nicely with our conversation about Facebook, because that is a playground for those people who want to practice this cyberbullying and using the technology for purposes that are obviously not God-pleasing. So this is a really great resource, and it a collection of resources that really help teachers and parents understand, you know, what can be done, what are the things to watch out for, and then ultimately what can be done.
Sure. The next link was shared by Pastor Stephen Daly, and the reason I know who shared it is because he mentioned this in his recording on last week's 200th episode, and that is ZimWiki. It's a wiki tool that's an open source tool, free to download and use on your desktop. And I believe Pastor Daly was using it for note taking and keeping up with different types of lists and things, and syncing it, I think, through his Dropbox. So I'm really curious to try this out and see what kind of uses we might have for it here at St. John's. And then finally, the last DIGO link that I have to share is from NASA, and it's called NASA at Home and City. And this is actually a way to show how the work in outer space and space exploration is impacting our daily lives. So you can drill down and explore a home setting or a city setting and different areas of the home or city and see specific products and processes that were affected by the work done by NASA and in space exploration. It's a really fun site to explore. I think students probably, maybe fifth grade and up, would enjoy this website and be able to learn a lot of neat things about space exploration in the process.
Very good. And thank you to everybody who contributed with those DIGO links and voicemails and emails. We're very much looking forward to more of those as we continue on with the show, and it's so easy to contribute to the show. If you have something to share, an idea, a thought, a suggestion, just let us know. WellsTech@wells.net is the email. WellsTech.wells.net is a show notes page. We have a Facebook page, facebook.com/WellsTech. There's a listserv, which is very well trafficked with questions and answers. So we have all kinds of opportunities to connect with us. So please do that. Sally, it's probably time to let everybody know what's coming up next week in episode 202. And we're going to talk about a topic that is near and dear to the hearts of most church and school secretaries, and that's calendaring.
Yep, can't get enough about calendars. I think the church kind of runs on the calendar. We need to have one that's functional, easy to use, doesn't cause us to do double work or triple work in the process. So we have calendar ideas to share with you. We have calendar printing techniques. We have ways for your congregants to make appointments on your calendar even. So lots of different flavors of calendaring to discuss in next week's podcast.
Yep. And Sally, you know what I'm looking forward to most for next week's podcast?
Actually, being on a normal
in my
computer
office with my own audio equipment. So
me
rather
too.
Than stuck in this hotel praying as we did before the show that everything will work correctly. All right, let's close the show with the music of In His Service, their song Send Me from the album In His Time. Thanks everybody for joining us. We hope to talk to you next week.